Do you know what DAWA is? D-A-W-A? DAWA. You better understand what DAWA is, for it very well may be the biggest threat to your life and America and even the world at large. DAWA. D-A-W-A. DAWA is the never-ending mission, the passion of Muslims to convert non-Muslims to political Islam, and also to push existing Muslims in a more extreme direction. DAWA is the ceaseless, worldwide, ideological campaign waged by Islamists as a complement to jihad. A complement to jihad. So says Professor Ayam Hirsi Ali, a research fellow at Stanford's Hoover University. M.S. Hirsi Ali, a Somalian immigrated to America, is, in the words of one of her Hoover Institute colleagues, Islam's most eloquent apostate. I like that. Islam's most eloquent apostate. M.S. Ali is intelligent, even brilliant, well-educated, and, as her colleague once again stated, has a greater chance of meeting a violent end, than anyone I have ever met, Salman Rushdie included. M.S. Ali lives with fatwas, many of them on her head, a fatwa being essentially a license, order, or at least a request to kill. Radical Muslim jihadists know the verbal power of this woman, unafraid and determined, and these killer jihadists want her dead. She travels everywhere with a bodyguard, and she lives in the most secure circumstances. This courageous woman is determined to spread her message and educate any who will listen. DAWA, Ali says, is the greatest threat facing the West and could well bring about the end of the European Union as we know it. Boy, what a statement that is. It's the greatest threat facing the West. America, as well, is far from immune and will eventually feel the effects of DAWA, motivating Professor Ali to urge President Trump and his administration to adopt a comprehensive anti-DAWA strategy before, as she says, before it is too late. Ali is bold enough to declare that Islam is incapable of reform. Let me repeat that. Islam, in her words, is incapable of reform. Incapable. And consequently, she calls upon Muslims to convert or abandon the religion altogether. Boy, is that courageous. She took that approach a decade ago, but now she believes that Islam can indeed be reformed. That's interesting. That it must be reformed, yeah, that it must. And that it can only be reformed by Muslims themselves. These Islamic reformers, Ali calls Mecca Muslims. I suppose that means true Muslims. The faithful, truly religious followers of Muhammad, who prefer the gentler, kindler version of Islam, which was originally promoted by Muhammad before 622 AD. That was the year Muhammad migrated to Medina, and the religion took a militant and unlovely ideological turn. Most militant. It is critically important, says Ali, that the West, including and especially America, regard Islam not simply as a religion, but also as a political ideology. America, she strongly feels, does not do that. Islam is simply not just another religion like Christianity or Buddhism, but again, a political ideology. The ultimate objective of which is to impose Sharia law on all societies, Islamic law everywhere, and of course with that, the destruction of any and all political institutions now in place, especially those which foster a free society. It is, she says, a never-ending process, only ending when an Islamic utopia is achieved. Sharia everywhere. Sharia everywhere. Oh, I hope and pray it never happens in America. Ali, in her newly published book on DAWA, indicates that what America calls terrorism and what the Islamists call jihad is an inappropriate preoccupation with Americans and so much of the Western world. America thinks that terrorism is the way of the weak, and if we can take out the leaders and bring down Al-Qaeda or ISIS, then surely the followers will stop their jihad. That, Ali says, is dead wrong. For when one militant organization goes down, a different one emerges, or the same one takes on a different shape. And that occurs, Ali says, because we Americans have been ignoring Dawah. Dawah. Islamists and Islamic activists have, in America, access to all of our political institutions. They are determined to penetrate, influence, eventually control, and convert America and the rest of the world to Islam by peaceful means, but if not, by jihad, or both jihad and peaceful means. That is, both jihad and dawah. This ceaseless process to convert and control exists everywhere, in families, in schools, in universities, in prisons, in the military, and of course, in politics. Ali states unequivocally that we the people in America cannot allow them to pursue their aims unchecked. We just can't do it, she says. We need to be on full alert against political Islam and Dawah. Islam, Ali says, is fundamentally incompatible with the United States Constitution and its freedoms and the equality therein, and with religious pluralism, incompatible. And of course, the equality of men and women. Women have very few, if any, rights under true Islam, and other rights indeed, which we enjoy and even take for granted. Islamists, she says, are indeed homophobic. But the Islamic definition of homophobe is different from ours. The West uses the term homophobic to indicate prejudice against gays, you know, LGBTQ, and against gay marriage. But a true Islamist, says Ali, when using the word homophobe means that Islam wants gays put to death. Again, Islam really wants gays put to death. Dawah is, says Ali ostensibly, a religious missionary activity, and therefore its proponents enjoy a much greater protection by the law in free societies than, for example, Marxists or fascists. One of the groups with such hidden dawah or even jihadist objectives is the supposedly respected, Ali says, CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations. CARE has the status of a moderate Muslim organization. But a group like CARE, says Ali, which takes advantage of the focus on inclusiveness by progressive political bodies and democratic societies, would, if in power, force those societies to bow to Islamist demands in the name of peaceful coexistence. Wow. Oh, I sure hope and pray not in America. In Ali's fight against Dawah, she indicates that Islam has the help of what she calls, her term, useful idiots. Useful idiots. That's the communist Lenin's phrase. Ali includes in that category the Southern Poverty Law Center, the SPLC, which has denounced M.S. Hersey Ali as an extremist. But Islamic extremists, she says, go to people like the SPLC and ask them to partner with them because we also want to talk about what you guys talk about, which is civil rights, and Muslims are a minority just like you blacks. These Islamic extremists play what Ali calls the victim card, and the SPLC swallows it. She also claims that the ACLU does the very same thing. In short, Western liberals with a blind spot, Ali says, are also complicit, perhaps somewhat unknowingly, in fostering Dawah, weakening American institutions, and all the while, perhaps unintentionally, promoting Islam. Ali continues to be alarmed by the ease with which the agents of Dawah hide behind constitutional protections they themselves would dismantle if they were in power. In her book, Ali quotes British philosopher Karl Popper, who states the following: if we are not prepared to defend a tolerant society against the onslaught of the intolerant, then the tolerant will be destroyed and tolerance with them. Boy, that's a powerful statement, isn't it? In short, says Ali, we must stand up against the continued onslaught of Islam, whether supposedly peaceful, dawah, or military, jihad, at every turn. For both, and especially dawah, become an existential menace to the West. The real answer to the menace is to effectuate the assimilation of Muslims into Western societies. Assimilation, Extremists would keep Muslims separate, segregated, unto themselves, and preserving their own identities ethnically and spiritually without any real assimilation into Western society. We see that happening everywhere. Ali calls that process cocooning, which of course means the protection of the Muslim identity and the shunning of any and all Western values or culture. But Ali wants the children of these Islamic immigrants and citizens to be exposed to Western education and especially to critical thinking. She wants family and children living in America to be able, with this critical thinking, to understand freedom, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and especially, Ali says, the rights of women. Ali also courageously suggests subjecting immigrants and refugees to ideological scrutiny so as to deny entry, like Trump, heaven forbid, and residence and naturalization to those who are involved with or supportive of Islamism in its extreme forms. Wow, a professor at the Hoover Institute at Stanford who thinks like Trump. That is an unbelievably bold and courageous statement from an equally bold and courageous woman who shares the political philosophy of President Trump and can better articulate the reasons and justification for such a political approach. Boy, can she ever. She's a bright, sharp, eloquent woman, and you should listen to her anytime you have a chance. And of course, the many critics of Ali and others like her who see and understand the real and present danger accuse her of a 21st century McCarthyism, an unfair witch hunt, prejudice against all Muslims, not so, including and especially the good ones, to which Professor Ali replies, that unfair criticism is just a display of intellectual laziness, a display on the part of her critics of intellectual laziness. We are dealing with lethal ideological movement, the Dawah. We have to grasp, says Ali, the gravity of Dawah. Jihad, she says, is merely an extension of Dawah. And even for some, in fact, jihad is simply Dawah by another name, a violent, terroristic one, but Dawah, takeover and control, nonetheless. Professor Ali believes that the United States of America is in a much weaker position to combat the various forms of nonviolent extremism known as Dawah because of the way the judicial system has interpreted the First Amendment. Ali believes that this judicial course of action, which has eviscerated American exceptionalism and turned that into an exceptional handicap. Again, the judicial system has eviscerated American exceptionalism and turned that into, she says, an exceptional handicap. Wow. Tough, sharp, smart words, don't you think? But convincing Americans of the Dawah threat, which includes jihad, would be extremely difficult, she says, if not in some cases impossible. Americans, she thinks, are naive and trusting and looking for the good in people, including Islamists, and may never awaken to the threat of Dawah until it is too late. Our society, she says, given its political philosophy and tolerant and indifferent mentality, makes us ill-equipped to suppress threats from groups that act in the name of religion, says Ali. And that is especially so with Islam and its avowed mission of Dawah and jihad. So then, my fellow Americans, never forget Dawah, and you should associate that four-letter word with Islam, especially so-called peaceful Islam, as you look at the effect of this religion and the political and military philosophy of Islam on our society. Islam through Dawah, this political ideology, is now aggressively at work and always will be, keeping Muslims energized to work hard for the ultimate objective of imposing Sharia law on all societies, including and especially the countries of the West and America. Every true Muslim has the objective to convert non-Muslims to political Islam and the religion, no matter what they say. We the people should never forget the words of Professor Hirsi Ali, remember that name, who states courageously and emphatically, "The ultimate goal of Islam is to destroy the political institutions of a free society and replace them with Sharia law." And again, my fellow Americans, that process never ends, never. We the people are deceived if we think it does. And again, Professor Ali is determined to get the attention of the Trump administration, exhorting the president to be aware of this most serious threat and act aggressively against it. At the same time, Ali takes her message to gentler, kinder Muslims, true religious Muslims, the Mecca Muslims, urging them to assimilate in Western societies and reform Islam or even convert from it. Small wonder this courageous Somalian woman, this brilliant professor has, like Salman Rushdie, multiple fatwas kill her on her head. We can only hope and pray that she does not meet the violent end that Islamist extremists passionately want. America is blessed to have a right-thinking woman, a woman no less, which makes her even more of a challenge for Islam, speaking out as a leader of the resistance movement to Islamic dawah and jihad. We of the Judeo-Christian background and beliefs can only pray for her safety and encourage her to continue with her special and vital mission. We the people must stand up and protect our institutions, our freedoms, our culture, our way of life, especially against this insidious Islamic movement, this dawah, and this jihad. Or the freedoms we now enjoy and far too much take for granted, oh, is that so true, far too much take for granted, will be lost, and if lost, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, will be lost forever. Professor Ali believes that, and so do I. And I hope and pray you do as well, so you will stand up. Far too few Muslims integrate and assimilate. Witness Dearborn, Michigan. Far too few. This separateness, this cocooning, this preservation of ideology and of culture and of way of life and of religion, as these numbers increase, will eventually destroy the American way of life we take for granted. Don't let it happen, says Professor Ali. Don't let it happen, my fellow Americans. Don't let that happen.